Good morning. You're tuned in to WBLI and WBAB, Cox Radio Long Island, plugged into Long Island. And with us this morning is Debbie Mandel, who's finally revealing the secret to her unceasing spiritual happiness and physical health in her new book, Turn On Your Inner Light, Fitness for Body, Mind, and Soul. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Sandy.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Your book, Turn On Your Inner Light, Fitness for Body, Mind, and Soul. Why did you write the book, and what is it about?
The book is really how to put the mind and body together. There are a lot of mind books out there, spiritual guides, and there are a lot of fitness books out there. But I wanted to combine the two because the mind and body working together are more powerful than each one individual in getting you to be de-stressed and happy. And since I'm basically a very happy person and people come to me and say, why are you so happy? I needed to answer that question.
So what's your secret to happiness?
Well, there are a few things we can do.
Change
your perception. Turn a negative into a positive.
Right.
Now, let go of the drain.
How do you do that?
Well, various techniques. One technique would be to use humor. When you're in a tough situation, there's conflict. You know how we laugh at everyone else?
Right.
Laugh at yourself.
Okay.
Distance yourself. Pretend you're in a sitcom.
Okay.
And reinterpret.
All righty.
That's a very good thing to do.
Now, what are some other secrets to happiness?
Lower your expectations.
Okay.
We have unrealistic expectations. We drive ourselves crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't compare yourself to what you were in the past. The past is over and done with.
Right.
And don't look to the future. It may not happen. Be in the moment.
Okay.
Be in the moment.
Sense.
Be happy with little things,
mm-hmm.
little successes. Don't set these goals that are so unattainable. Another thing, do you ever hear how everyone's so busy?
Right.
Busy. I don't
have time for this.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? If I don't have time for me at all, what am I distracting myself from doing? What am I not facing about myself? Let me simplify my life, clean out the clutter of my mind, and find time for me, things that make me happy.
So are you talking about people having life makeovers, changing their lifestyles or their way of thinking? You talk about exercise. Are you talking about all this stuff?
Well, I don't like to think of it as a complete life makeover.
Right.
That's intimidating to me, and I don't know what that means.
Right.
My book is very manageable. It's written about 29 life situations, chunks of living, recipes of living, and it's holistic, which means I'm going to give you advice from Chinese herbal medicine, Kabbalistic healing, literature, and psychology, Western medicine, original meditation, mind-body prescriptions, and an exercise workout to go with each lifestyle. That's never been done before because the exercise is a physical affirmation. So if I think it and I do it, it works together and it puts me in the moment. How can I be stressed if I'm in the moment?
Right. I see that your Turn On Your Inner Light in your book is comprised of 29 chapters that can be read independently. It's not sequential sort of thing. I can pick up a chapter at any time and read that.
And give it to a friend to read as well.
How nice. And you start out with each one with is this kind of a mantra or what?
A little quote, an inspirational quote, like for burnout.
I
like the quote, the bush burnt but was not consumed. I mean, that's a great way to think of how to reinvent yourself. And then I give you some advice, compact, easy to follow, easy to read, and fun. Little humor here, entertaining. And then some mind-body prescriptions, like in Training for Conscious. I tell everyone you need to be in the moment. Stir your coffee backwards. But it works. It works.
Looking at life differently.
Yes, that's always. And how to constantly stimulate yourself and maybe learn something new every day.
Now, you, in your book, Turn On Your Inner Light, Fitness for Body, Mind, and Soul, you give tips that can help people with situations. Okay, you mentioned cultivate a sense of humor, letting go of unrealistic expectations. Speak your mind.
Oh, it is so good to free yourself.
Right.
And don't wait till you're old to do that after you've lived and had this wise panorama of existence. Speak your mind constantly. And if you don't want to do something, don't do it. If it doesn't feel right, we have to honor our feelings. Then we don't have to wait to become sick and tired to say no. Too many people wait to be sick. Oh, now I can't do it.
Right.
Don't do it right away if you don't want to. Feel it.
I had a very wise doctor years ago. I was experiencing a lot of stomach pain, and he had me keep track for about 2 weeks of when my stomach would bother me. And I went back to him and I reported, and he looked at me and he said, "You have to learn how to say no." He said, you know, such a simple word, but you have to learn how to say no. And it took me a long time, but it made all the difference. Made all the physical difference for me. You know, I freed myself.
That's a great example. And do you know what the stomach symbolizes? I cover that in my book, the ego. And when you can't say no, it's because you want to accommodate everyone else. You
want to
be perfect.
Yes.
That's about the ego. How do I look to everyone else? Well, how do I look to me? Because the body is our template. Mm-hmm. What happens in the body is what's going on in the mind. That's the podium of my book. There is no separation between mind and body. It's one thing. So once you solve that and could say no, then you were well.
The pain went away.
Exactly. The mind body.
Yeah, that's a wonderful comparison. Why did you feel it was necessary to write this book?
Well, I felt that I come out of certain dark situations in life. Mm-hmm. I'm a child of survivors, Holocaust survivors. I have parents with Alzheimer's. And I'm happy. And I said, how can I not share this with the world?
Right.
That I've walked this walk. It's real. It's not just that I've researched and analyzed and done workshops all over town listening to people.
Right.
It's that this is my life, and I need to share it with everyone so they can rejoice and find joy in every little thing, because the darkness shows you the light.
Okay, Debbie, one of the other tips in your book is clean out the clutter. What does that mean?
We live very overly complicated lives. Mm-hmm. We're running from errand to errand. We juggle too many things. We need to prioritize in our life. What activities can I shed? I need to make time for me daily. That's where exercise comes in. That's the first thing to go among people.
You're right.
I don't have time. That's too much. Well, we have a few minutes here and there to exercise. We can park the car a few minutes from our destination
and walk it. Right.
Climb up the stairs. Do stretches. But you have to do that for yourself or you get lost.
So you're saying you got to commit yourself to health and fitness.
Yes.
Make it a priority.
Yes, and that will organize your day. If I work out a little bit, I'm going to watch what I put into my mouth. I'm going to try to be healthier.
You say to learn to live in the here and now. What do you mean by that?
To live in the moment. We have to enjoy ourselves and thoroughly experience everything. If I'm washing the floor, let me just wash the floor. Let me not worry about elderly parents or children.
Right.
Let me use that time to just experience it. If I'm having a cup of coffee,
rejoice in it.
Yeah. Like we said before, the past is over and done with. I like to think of it as a staircase that I'm on.
Right.
And as I walk up the staircase, the lower steps disappear. There's an abyss. I can't go down. The upper stairs are not clear. I don't see them. But the stairs I'm on, I'm experiencing that. Let me be there.
It's like really stopping to smell the roses.
Right.
You know? And we just move in such a fast-paced world that we don't take the time to do that.
We need to appreciate. I think we should make a list of things we appreciate. And a list of things we used to appreciate but have adapted to.
That's a good point. I'd have to really sit down, and I haven't thought about that.
Yeah, when you write it, it becomes real. And when you write it, and you think it, and you see it, you visualize it, it comes true.
Because it's really important to think about what you used to enjoy, and if you're not anymore, what's happened?
Yeah.
You know, have you changed, or are you enjoying less in your life?
And why?
Yeah,
and why?
Right.
And how to counteract the negativity.
So your firm conviction of tying the mind and the body in together, is that what makes your book different?
Yes, that they work synergistically. Mm-hmm. They're not separate entities, and that we have to take care of the physical in order to be well mentally, and we have to image what we do mentally, physically. So if I'm going to exercise, I'm not going to have a cell phone with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to image the muscles working and moving so I get the most out of my workout. And I'm going to use that time to think about nothing else, just to burn off that stress hormone, that cortisol, the adrenaline, and oxygenate my brain and really rejoice in the well-being of my body. And I think when I'm doing things with my mind, I'm going to look to change perception for the positive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on a journey, and I'm meant to be here. And if there is an obstacle in my life,
right,
well, I'm going to deal with it.
With us this morning is Debbie Mandel. She graduated summa cum laude, Phi Beta Kappa from Brooklyn College with an undergraduate degree and received her graduate degree from New York University. In addition to Debbie's new book, she teaches English literature and writing on the high school and college levels and is a certified personal trainer. She's devoted years to studying and developing panoramic and analogous view of Chinese herbal medicine. Wow! Health and fitness, Western medicine, Zen philosophy, that's Kabbalistic healing and literary patterns. Wow!
Lady, that's a mouthful. And didn't we talk about simplifying?
Yeah, I mean, but you've got quite a background. What motivated you to write this book, and when did you start thinking about it? Have you lived this sort of mental and physical state all your life, or did you go through a change and an epiphany? What happened?
Well, I think from early childhood, because I grew up with Holocaust survivors, mm-hmm. Now, some people could grow up depressed because you always knew there was a dark backdrop.
Right.
But for me, I grew up with this rejoicing of little things.
Mm-hmm.
We had little, but we had love, and
right,
we had laughter. So I grew up in that vein that all else paled before Auschwitz.
Mm-hmm.
How could you take things so hard? And then growing up, of course we have transformations, and when women hit their 40s,
mm-hmm.
they have an age of wisdom. And then life experiences, the tough things, the trials, the pains, it chastens you.
Right.
And it makes you pull out the best that you have. And so when things happen to you and to other people, you try to find the optimistic look. You try to see what you have inside to rejoice and make it special, because we appreciate the light only because we have dark moments.
But some people can't appreciate the light. Some people are prone to depression, to anger. What do you say to them to overcome these very powerful forces, and particularly the power of the mind? What is it? Shakespeare said, nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. It's in Hamlet. Hamlet said it.
Yeah.
You know, but thinking makes it so, the power of the mind. So how do you help someone, what do you suggest to somebody to overcome those powerful forces?
Well, it takes time.
Uh-huh.
You have to work on your body, too. Remember to strengthen your
right
mind. You don't want to be overstimulated with caffeine and nicotine.
Mm-hmm.
And processed foods, because that's going to drain you.
Right.
You want to get rest,
mm-hmm.
because if you're drained, things look negatively to
okay
you anyway. Then mentally, you want to surround yourself with cheerful things. Watch
what?
Comedies. Tell
okay
jokes.
Uh-huh.
The color orange, Kabbalistically,
uh-huh,
is the color of cheerfulness. You don't have to paint your room orange. Put an orange on your desk.
Okay.
Okay, look at something like that. Volunteer to help other people when you're depressed. It will take you out.